Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides. That's 2 hours of political chitter-chatter, fight for human rights in Santa Cruz, and hey, to some extent, it's You Make It Your Show. Stay tuned. Call in number 427-3772. And we're looking for in-studio guest Brent Adams, who's supposed to come here before he burns a few American flags. We'll see if that boy makes it into the studio. Stay tuned.
This song is about the sort of things your mother says to you when you're not going away to college, but when you're a child, to keep you from bodily harm. It's called Don't Put It in Your Mouth. Don't put it in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Don't assume it's candy for a minute. Don't take it from the ground or from a strange old man. Other kids have vanished when they did it. Don't bring it in the house because it's not a toy. Don't you ever point it at your sister. Go put it in your room. I'll wash your mouth with soap.
Then I'll put you two in separate corners.
Did you bring enough for everyone?
Keep it to yourself or share or share.
Go upstairs and think of what you've done.
You're just not my kid. I swear, I swear, I swear, I swear. Don't swing that thing around. You just might poke an eye. Wipe that grin before it sticks forever. Don't leave it on the floor or feed it to the dog. If you break it, you won't get another. How many times do I have to tell you?
In one ear and out the other.
Don't try talking with your mouth full.
You're behaving like your father.
If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't put it in your mouth. What if you should choke, even though you didn't choke the last time? You jump right off the bridge because the neighbor did. You should try to make your brain work sometime.
Let me see your hands, both sides. Stop that slipping now and blow and blow. What is best for you is best for me. Don't ask why or how, just go, just go, 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 just go. If you don't want to eat, we'll find someone who will.
Starving kids in India will love it. And you'll just go to bed and stay there for a week. Or put it in your mouth and swallow it.
How many times do I have to tell you?
In one ear and out the other.
Don't try talking with your mouth full.
Your father.
If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth.
And that, of course, was Don't Put It in Your Mouth by Uncle Banzai, one of my favorite little-known groups of the 80s, which I've been peppering all you loyal listeners with. Again, you're tuned to 101.1 FM, or perhaps computers zipping around with freakradio.org if you're not in the immediate listening area. Name of the show is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm Bathrop Spear Robert. Also known as Robert Norse or Robert Kahn, depending on how you want to call me. But Norse is the name I'm known by locally and the name I use. So that's the one I go by. You're welcome to call in on this show. We talk about the need to restore civil rights, public accountability, public access, community control of police, an end to foreign criminal wars and lying politicians, at least in power, and invite your discussion, particularly of local issues that don't get much coverage, even in so-called local media like the Sentinel, the Good Times, the City on a Hill, the KUSP, KZSC, KSCO, you name it. Even Free Radio Santa Cruz doesn't have lots of local stuff, at least not as much as I'd like, as some, and I'm glad it has that. But the call-in number, in case you want to be a part of the show, is 427-3772. Out of the area code 831-427-3772, 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. And welcome to all you new listeners, if you're new. I'm still struggling with the internet here and finding it a little difficult to spell Santa Cruz. That may be the reason I'm not getting online. There we go. This show is supposed to begin with an interview with Brent Adams. Brent is a big, big drummer, not big in stature, but he has a big, big drum downtown. Now, maybe he's calling in now. I see a phone line ringing, and I should pay some attention to that. Let's actually let it ring and see who's there. Hey there, you're on Free Radio.
I'd like to request a song.
What's that?
I would like to request a song.
Oh, you would? Well, you know, this isn't really that kind of a show, but you can certainly make a request. If I happen to have it around, I might play it. What's the deal?
I played it like 2 years ago. It's a Fat Kid in a Red Turtleneck.
Fat Kid in a Red Turtleneck?
Yes.
I played it 2 years ago?
Yes.
Huh.
Maybe not this time of day.
Maybe
this time of day, but you did. And it was awesome.
Huh. You know, I don't know what song that was, and... But you know what you might do? You might call the Free Radio Santa Cruz voicemail and leave a request on the voicemail. That number, you got a pencil?
Yes.
Is 427. You got to turn down your radio, by the way, in case you're getting blasted out there. It doesn't bother me, but it might be confusing you. 427-4523 is for all you listeners out there. That's the number for the, you know, if you want to get through for a public service announcement or a request.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and just leave your number, and they'll tell you when they're going to play it if they do. So perhaps more information than he needed. Anyway, again, welcome to Bathrobs, Piers, Broadsides. Brent was due in the studio, and I suspect he may be on his way to the beach to burn a few flags, though I understand the beaches are getting heavily patrolled by La Policia even before the 4th of July. In fact, we may be in the middle of our triple fine zone time again. That's another Ryan Coonerty, Cynthia Matthews, Mike Rotkin production. I'm looking in today's Sentinel to see if there's actually a description of this. There's efforts to curb trash mentioned, beach residents and police to meet on July 10th. And there was a long article on this issue about a week ago, but unfortunately the day before, you don't get to know where you're going to get screwed and when with the triple fines and for what offenses, which is a pity. Let's see here. Now, there's a little editorial about it in the Sentinel, but again, there is no handy-dandy description of where, when, and how. I'm going to try to find that. I may have brought the article along for public information here. Let's see if I can find it. Since I brought along 50 articles, it may not be the easiest thing to find, but hey, who knows? Maybe it's here in this nest of papers. Anyway, if you go online to indiebay.org, you won't necessarily find what you're going to be fined for. But you will find a description of the 4th annual Old Time American Flag Burn that Brent is sponsoring or is doing. There we go. That's not it. Still looking. Expect road closures, lots of cops on the 4th. Deputies warn of big fines on the 4th. Supposedly for fire safety, and nothing wrong with fire safety. Light a sparkler, it'll cost you $1,000. And there's a whole bunch of road detours. Lots of nice safety tips, and you can always be a snitch by calling 911. Or let's put it this way, looking at a more positive point of view, you can stop an unsafe neighbor from criminal behavior. Here's the municipal code violations. The fines are tripled from 8 a.m. July 4th, so not yet, to midnight July 5th. So it starts tomorrow at 8 a.m. and goes to midnight the same day. It goes for a total of 16 hours. For open container or consumption of alcohol in public, try to drink a beer on the beach, unless, of course, you're having a little bit of a martini downtown in an enclosed area, you know, outside, a little Chabonnet or something. It's going to cost you $480. Littering or disobeying traffic control devices, like going through a stop sign or maybe dropping a cigarette if you're a homeless person, $288. Urinating in public, noise, well, let's begin to take these one by one. Urinating in public, that is to say, not having a catheter with you or a private residence when all the bathrooms are full or closed or inaccessible, that's going to be $576. Noise, actually, noise ordinances, as I've mentioned earlier on other shows, are very, they're liberal because the city doesn't want to have its own workers fined for the huge amounts of noise they make downtown when they're engaging in, you know, building four-story Rittenhouse buildings and so forth. So it's actually during the day. It's hard to prove a noise ordinance, though police like to scare people a lot with it. And I haven't really followed the latest noise stuff through. I think Tamarack, the drummer, who faces two tickets for drumming downtown, was able to beat an earlier ticket by pointing out that he was drumming at a reasonable hour before 10 p.m. at night, and that's not unreasonable noise downtown, even if a resident doesn't like it, you know, doesn't like his kind of drumming. Graffiti. Now, graffiti is, you might think, oh, we don't want these nasty gang people spraying up our fine art exhibits or, you know, the nice merchant storefronts or, you know, residential homes, but graffiti has also been taken to mean writing with chalk, erasable chalk, on the sidewalk for a political purpose, like, you know, denouncing the city council, the sleeping ban, the war. All these are crimes under the new city council regime for the last 10 years, even though the law hasn't changed, just the city council and the police enforcement policy has gotten more fascistic, should I say, because I think that really describes it. They call it defacing sidewalks. Improper vehicle parking, standing and stopping, that's a $576 fine. And discharging a firearm, of course, unless you're a police officer shooting Happy John Dine, it's $1,440. Abusing or mutilating trees, plants, or lawns, which may mean such a thing as climbing a tree, $1,056. And traffic regulation disobedience, it's $192 to $960. And again, if you want to go online to find this, it's a June 28th story in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. So just look it up online. And the headline is, deputies warn of big fines on the 4th. Expect road closures, lots of cops on the 4th. One of those two headlines. And then there are all kinds of detours, which I'm not going to get into, and access. All fireworks are banned, including safe and sane. All beach areas within Santa Cruz city limits, fines will be tripled for fireworks, as well as city ordinances or urinating in public or having an open container or a beer, even if you're having a family outing at night. Nearly every law enforcement officer in the county will work at some point on Independence Day to augment patrols, particularly looking for people lighting fireworks, public safety, and the huge fire danger. And I don't think that should be poo-pooed. I think there obviously is a significant fire danger, though my understanding of at least some of the fires is they were actually arson fires set by people, and so punishing the entire community for the work of a few criminal people is, I think, inappropriate, although standard police state kind of behavior, and it's unfortunate. Scotts Valley has canceled its annual fireworks show. Watsonville has halted sales and use of safe and sane fireworks. And there's the old gang violence deal. I'd like to see, actually, and maybe some people who are follow the show, maybe even critics of the show, have a, you know, a real statistical description of the so-called rise in gang violence over the last 5 years. How extensive actually is the gang violence, let's say, compared to the police violence of continually violating people's rights when they're trying to walk a dog on the beach or sleep somewhere without causing any trouble, but where they have no legal place to sleep at night, or sitting downtown on Pacific Avenue trying to get out of the sun in the shade, but in one of the many forbidden sitting zones that aren't marked, and there are no signs, but you're supposed to know them anyway. I'd like to know the pretext for this kind of shit is increasing violence, the need for greater security. You know, like the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, Iranian terrorist Afghani Taliban threat that is threatening to consume us, so we have to send more soldiers abroad and have more internal terrorist alerts, orange alerts, red alerts, green alerts, and so forth, which people like to grumble about. I'm grumbling about it now, but they don't want to do anything about it, like, you know, I don't know, wreck the offices of the Homeland Security. I know, that'd be vandalism, I guess. You might call it, I don't know, taking back your rights and so forth. But, hey, and I mention it because it's a fantasy, you know. I'm not a violent person. I'd be no good at wrecking an office. I wouldn't know what to wreck first. But I know that a lot of the folks who are gainfully employed in diligently destroying the rights of American citizens or of people being held by American troops and torturing them and holding them away from their families for years on end are criminals. And they're being paid and they're being supported. And they'll continue to be paid and supported by guys under Obama or McCain, whoever gets elected, unless the American people do something about this. The internal political politicians obviously find this to their advantage, or they're too scared of this interest group or that interest group to do shit. So it seems to me it's up to us to do something, and what we do depends on your temperament, how much you're willing to risk, what you think you're best at, and so forth. And also, of course, it really depends on whether we can get together, and that's really the real question and the real problem, because most of us are struggling so hard to make ends meet as the service cuts come down and as the, you know, the jobs disappear and as the businesses flee the downtown and so forth or go bankrupt. It's not looking good. But hey, it's not going to stop me from a radio show, and I'll keep a chattering away, and hopefully you'll keep informing me of what's cooking out there. I'm looking online at the... Again, it looks like the old-time American flag burn is going to happen, but we probably won't get an interview with Brent Adams. He's probably... No, he's here. By cracky. He's late, but he's here looking pretty cool. Hey, Brent, why don't you pull up a chair and sit at the mic? And I'm looking at this online description, which you posted. I assume it was what you posted. Fourth annual old-time American flag burning takes place on the far west fire ring on Seabright Beach. Where is that, anyway?
Test.
Yes, there you are.
Seabright Beach is the city is a state beach located between the San Lorenzo River, or the main beach between there and also the yacht harbor.
And how do you get to it?
You can get there from Soquel by taking Seabright Avenue south towards the ocean. And take it to the end. You'll see a sign directing you to the entrance of the beach. We're at the far west fire ring. So that's if you enter the main. Actually, I just checked the beach now. They've fenced the entire face of the beach for tomorrow night's festivities.
For your protection, I'm sure.
For our protection, correct.
Does this mean you're going to have to burn through the fence to get there?
They have the main gate, the main entrance open. So normally you can park up along the cliffs there. You won't be able to do that tonight.
Huh.
So, and that's kind of a bummer because I think that was a great vantage point to enjoy the flag burn.
Now, this is an event you've done a number of years, right? How many times have you done this?
This will be our fourth time celebrating our freedom of speech by burning a flag.
Now, was this in the same place each time, or have you moved the event around?
It's been on Seabright Beach every year. Last year, I had the event all by myself in celebrating.
You were a lone flag burner.
Correct. 2 years ago, the issue was before Congress. They were trying to pass a constitutional amendment to ban flag desecration. So, and then it ended up losing by one vote. So mm-hmm. It was especially important to us. So we really did it up big, and it was a lot of news media picked up on it. And so it was kind of there was a lot of energy around it. Last year, it wasn't an issue before Congress, and so
a lone man with a box of matches.
Correct. I actually did it during the fireworks festivities and just kind of secretly
put
my
flag. But
there
are going to be no fireworks this year, at least not if the police have their say.
Well, that's silly because I think people will be smuggling them in their backpacks and you can't search people's
triple
backpacks.
Triple fine zones, my man.
It's very exciting. I'll be there.
Uh-huh. Now, do you think there'll be any fireworks tonight?
I doubt it. Actually, I don't know if you've been looking at the beachfront for the last month. There have been fireworks every night shooting up in the air. It's been quite a festive season so far.
And what do you say to critics who claim that this is a fire hazard given the extremely dry, I don't know how extremely dry the conditions are, but we've had a number of fires around.
That's funny. Somebody, Chip said that today. He brought up that it's, you don't mind if I take my, I'm really hot and sweaty right now.
Well, you see what I mean. It's hot here in the studio.
It is a fire hazard. It's, but that's why we're holding it at the beach in a fire ring. Most people get in trouble for burning flags because they're either burning somebody else's flag, so we encourage people to bring their own flags down, or they have they burn their flag in an area where they're not supposed to have a fire, an open fire. So that's why we chose the fire ring at Seabright Beach. You can burn stuff there.
I've actually never heard of, at least in the national media, any case of a person who was charged with burning a flag because it was somebody else's flag or because it was in a prohibited area. Mainly it was because there was some local thou shalt not, you know, desecrate the Bible or the Quran or the flag or any of these holy, actually somewhat profane symbols, I think, of power and prejudice and pseudo-patriotism. But it had to do really with the fact that they don't want any flags burned because it shows disrespect for authority, right?
Right. And that may or may not be the case with state park land, too. But we're not really looking at that issue. We're just going ahead with it.
And you've done it before.
Yeah, we've done it before to great success. I mean, we did it. We take the stand in public. I've been putting press releases out all week long saying this is going to be happening. The Associated Press called yesterday and interviewed me about it. So it does get out there widely.
Have you gotten any dates because of this?
Sure, yeah, I have. Sure.
All right. Well, you see, now you can both burn a flag, be patriotic, and stop American imperialism, and get a date.
That's right, that's right. I'll see you later.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. you know, the issue for me, though, is I know you've also mentioned online that this is an issue that's almost an abstract one involving the First Amendment, not involving any particular cause, but involving the right to dissent in the most kind of basic way, regardless of whether you're a left-wing rebel or a right-wing rebel or a high center-of-the-road rebel, whatever you are. You know.
Yeah. I think that's the point here. That the framers of the Constitution really wanted to protect our right to dissent.
Except if you were a slave.
Sure.
Or a woman.
Well, yeah.
Or an Indian,
perhaps. Now that,
or a foreigner.
That's been amended now, sure. But, you know, this is a country formed by dissenters.
I always get annoyed when people start talking about the fucking founding fathers. I'm really tired of hearing about the founding fathers.
Founding fathers.
You know, John Adams, fine, you know. And indeed, you know, one can find some interesting things of what they said. And in their time, I suppose they were kind of radical. Although they were all pretty well-to-do people, and most of them were slave owners. But let's just say those who print some of the principles in the American Revolution that were worth fighting for are still good today, particularly if you expand them to the entire community, right? I mean, that would be my view.
That's right, right. And what I think that's what we're looking at today. Everybody shares pretty much equally the same rights. Like, everyone has the right to bear arms, right?
Well, particularly since our Supreme Court has ruled
that everybody
can have a handgun of their own.
A black person can own a handgun. A woman can own a handgun.
Don't try and carry it around, or you'll.
I do not trust myself with a handgun.
Oh my God! Well, I don't know about. I think we should perhaps. Some people should be disarmed, like Sergeant Lamas, who broke Donna Dice's arm on May 9th. But that's another story. Again, we're talking with Brent Adams, and if you want to have any dialogue with this admitted and habitual flag burner. He is in the studio. He's about to go out to Seabright Beach to continue his pyromaniacal activities.
Right. 8 o'clock tonight.
8 o'clock.
Seabright Beach. Coming up quick. I want to encourage everybody to come out there, whether you are in agreement with us, whether you disagree strongly.
You have somebody with a video camera to catch any police activity?
We plan that. Mainly the video camera is documentation. Also, we think this is an important patriotic exercise. We're really trying to elevate the symbol of the flag. A burning flag is a stronger symbol of freedom than a regular flag is. If you think your flag symbolizes our freedoms, like a lot of people do, then a burning flag especially symbolizes our freedoms.
Well, I think in light of the new Supreme Court, what we want is a burning constitution. Kind of indicates the whole new order of things that sees the president as a defender of our liberties against terrorism at home and abroad.
Whiteout should produce a constitutional version of that. You could
Whiteout is
liquid paper.
It also has a nice burning quality. Have you ever tried to burn Whiteout and how Whiteout burns?
No, I just sniff it.
Oh, well, there you are. That's another possibility. I suppose there'll be marijuana aplenty, and you are. Actually, I should remind all you.
Let's not mix messages.
Certainly not. Marijuana has nothing to do with civil rights in America. Okay. And police department spends no time whatsoever taking away people's liberties in Santa Cruz for use of illegal drugs, as William Buckley would put it. But he actually was against the drug war. That's interesting. Buckley, for years, in spite of his reactionary positions on all kinds of issues, he was the editor of National Review, for those of you who don't know William F. Buckley.
I don't know him.
William F. Buckley, yes. He died about 6 months ago. He's a very, very famous right-wing writer.
I've never seen him in People magazine.
Supporter of Senator McCarthy. A very smooth speaker. And, quite an intelligent and articulate guy if your thoughts run on the right-wing channels. So, I guess I'm a little concerned because I guess this year, I don't know, was it true last year? Were there triple fine zones last year?
For what? Fireworks?
4th of July. For anything.
I don't know.
Because I think you're going to be subject to more police harassment this year as
well. Well, no, we're doing it tonight, not tomorrow night.
Doesn't matter, though. Oh, it's true. You're not going to get the triple fine zones, right. But the beaches have already been blocked off, as you know.
And but they have it'll be closed, I think, like always. My assumption is it's going to be a regular beach night tonight. They might be policing it, but it's not about fireworks for us. So, I'm not really worried about the triple fines. I've been down to the beach every 4th of July, though, for the last several years, and, they had quite a lot of police presence last year. They didn't gate it like they did this year. They're quite serious about it.
Perhaps this is Officer Zach Friendly calling in to give us some helpful advice.
He's a cutie pie.
He's a sweetie. Hi there. Is this the police department, perhaps?
No, it's not. But, hey, if you want to fly a flag and you really want to send a really strong political message, fly the American flag and fly it upside down.
Well, how about upside down and burning at the same time?
Or just upside down. Make sure that everybody sees it and everybody sees it. Don't burn it till the end of the night, put it that way. But make sure it flies high and then it flies upside down for a good long while before you burn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okey-doke. Well, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, that's I do want to this issue is very subtle. We are not demonstrating as a protest tonight, and I really appreciate that people want to do that, and that's one of our rights, and that's kind of like the right we are celebrating, but we are not protesting tonight. What we're doing is celebrating. It's a ritual celebration of our freedom of speech. And while I take the caller's point, and I do often hang the flag upside down, tonight we're celebrating the flag. Consecrating instead of desecrating.
I see some interesting photos of your previous consecrations here. I think I took some of them.
Bradley also.
Bradley does great work over those photos. But I noticed there's from 2005 and 2006, but none from 2007. What about the lone flag burner? You got no coverage? There was no photo of you last year?
That's right.
No documentation.
It's kind of like I wanted to really observe the holiday, the event. In a personal way.
Uh-huh.
I didn't, like I said, we blew it out so heavily the year before, and I hope tonight also, now that it's not in Congress, now we just want to celebrate. We just want to actually elevate the symbol of a burning flag. We want to kind of create a new mimetic idea that will kind of go out there into society that people will talk about. What, you hear about this idea of a burning flag? It's a celebration of our freedom. Isn't that crazy? It gets people talking.
You might want to burn Ryan Coonerty in effigy, perhaps, or the Board of Supervisors, or some of the other officials that are slicing away at the budget and slicing away at our rights. Maybe the police chief, Howard Scarry.
Well, fire
Sheriff
brings
Robin,
all these issues together, but we're not burning the flag in effigy again. We're celebrating burning.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay. I guess my concern is that it's all very nice for middle-class liberals and old hippies like you and I, me anyway, to sit around and say, gosh, we can burn the flag while overseas the U.S. are burning people alive with various kinds of bombs. Yes, explosives, napalm.
I don't want to.
I mean, that's happening as a matter of course.
Mommy.
It's not good. And it's painful to think about. The question is, one asks, is the right to burn the flag had much relevance to stopping the war in Iraq and the mass murder that's going on overseas? And, my answer is, ACLU fanatic that I am, in theory, although in reality they try to arrest me at ACLU meetings, I wonder if this has much to do with stopping the real destruction of people's lives and families abroad, although we'd like to think, we can burn the flag. How exciting.
No. See, they are burning Iraqis alive for my right to do this tonight. And that's why tonight I celebrate them.
Oh, okay. You're supporting your troops.
I celebrate. Heck yeah. They die for this flag.
They kill for the flag.
We want to celebrate them and all of the American dead soldiers through time.
It's hard to wrap my head around that one. That's quite something.
You got a big head.
You're pretty subtle.
Use that ponytail.
I'm going to need some help from listeners on how to understand this whole situation.
So we're celebrating the military. We're celebrating the Congress. We're celebrating our current president. We're celebrating everything.
Our incoming Obama, the man who's going to send 100,000 more troops overseas.
Incoming.
That's
all McCain.
Okay, well, maybe McCain. Any one of the two guys that comes in, he's going to make sure that them terrorists don't get a hold in the Middle East. He's made that quite clear. Both of them have.
Right.
Yeah, whether it means bombing the hell out of Iran or occupying Pakistan, whatever it means.
Right. And they will be doing that for my right to burn the flag
for
tonight.
Sure. And I mean, that's an example.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the American Empire defends the American dissidents at home. I mean, as the troops
Amen,
have said,
brother. So Amen, occasion. Brother. That is true. That's right. Why I'm I take that seriously. People say, my daddy died for this flag, mm-hmm. Disrespect that. I want to actually take that on, appreciate that, celebrate that. Say, okay, you say your dad died for this flag, for our freedoms. Usually these protests kind of like really just kind of fly in the face of all that, show so much disrespect and contempt. I can appreciate that for what it's worth, but the fourth annual old time American flag burn.
It's going to be a sacred flag burning.
Sacred.
Sort of like a Native American ritual. You're not going to be smoking tobacco for the hell of it, but only be for the very sacred quality. Right. I'm deeply moved by this whole prospect, and who knows, maybe I'll go out there and salute as you burn. Or if I'm not saluting, I want you to know that I'm going to be with you in spirit. I actually myself have burned a number of flags, but not because I like to burn flags, but because... Well, they were invading Iraq in 1990.
That's right.
I remember Councilmember Kennedy came running out and tried to stop us from burning a flag, explaining that it was counterproductive. And I told him that it was the invasion of Iraq that was counterproductive, not our burning of the flag. But he didn't get the message, and he won his city council race anyway. So what are you going to do?
Right. What are you going to do? Anyway. I expect to see Scott Kennedy out there tonight.
Have you ever seen him out there before?
There are the huddled masses in the dark over there.
I imagine all my
ex-girlfriends and the past mayors are over there in the shadows.
Really? Well, I know that, Yeah, the ex-mayors are kind of hard to get out unless there's a ceremonial occasion when they could be given a nice photo opportunity. Maybe this could be one of those occasions. You know?
Maybe. I do expect some press down there. I like Bradley's photographs. He took like these fuzzy photographs, really good pictures of the flames, but you can't really identify anybody's face.
I still think it would be more pertinent to burn the Santa Cruz County flag in front of the jail, or possibly to burn a big photo of Ryan Coonerty in front of his office, or to burn a picture of Sergeant Lamas in front of the police department. This would be more pertinent to local issues. I mean, this is making it also abstract to me, although you may get an AP story out of it. Is it going to have any impact on local issues? And to me, it's a little far-fetched, Brent, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that, actually. Thank you. I aim to be as far-fetched as possible.
You and your big drum downtown. By the way, have you gotten any noise complaints for your drumming?
Not in the last 9 months.
Okay. And previous to that you did?
Yes.
And what happened with that noise?
Aldrich, I don't really want to go into that too much.
I appreciate
law
enforcement.
We're going to
have a nice
downtown.
We love Officer Aldrich
can
deal
you
here.
Okay. Hear me smiling through my teeth. Yeah. I really appreciate it. No, it's a blessing. It's an honor. It's awesome to be making that much noisy racket downtown for all these years and really having the freedom to do it. It's quite awesome. You go to a lot of towns and I've been to a lot of towns trying to do this. And
hey, go to Saudi Arabia.
They will
cut your hands off, man. Let's all be grateful that we have the pittance of the freedoms that we have. But the reason I mention it is Tamarack, which was a...
Love him.
You know, I mean, you know his...
Big up, Tamarack.
He's the whistling drummer.
Yeah, that's a magic...
Who I don't find particularly earworthy, but nonetheless,
he's
it's
shamanism.
It's a meditation of some kind. He has been given 2 citations for drumming downtown.
That's terrible.
And I know I'd like to see musicians such as yourself, when you're not engaging in First Amendment flag desecration protection activities.
Consecrations.
Actually work on some of the local issues so that you won't be, like yourself, he won't be caught alone in court with no group of people behind him. Because that's really the problem downtown. No, you have a group of merchants who are trained to give complaints. Yeah. By the police department and by the by the downtown association and by the redevelopment agency, actually, in the city council environs, there's a sort of secretive staff group that advises merchants on how to file complaints against people like yourself and me, for that matter. Although I haven't had a complaint recently, and I think we need to get together and do something about it. Possibly burning a flag or two at the appropriate time.
Well, I like your point. Solidarity is important. I mean, we all have these issues downtown. There are hundreds of us who have these little infractions, right? But we're not really unified in this way. So a loner guy like me has to go to court by myself. I don't feel the support of everyone else. You, of course, you're like the one guys out there constantly supporting all of us. But that's a good point, solidarity. We should all support Tamarack and show up when he has to go before the court. And really fight. I mean, Tamarack should never get a ticket. He's been so respectful to the store owners, to East Meets West, who is always calling on him. He's respectful to everybody. You can't imagine a sweet soul like Tamarack getting a ticket. It's just ludicrous to me.
Well, I mean, I never...
They're just trying to shut him down.
I don't want to demonize
him.
I don't want to demonize the police, and I don't want to, glorify individuals who are ticketed by the police. But I think it's important to recognize when there's a kind of a mood and a directive that's gone out to, go after certain kinds of people for certain things. The drug war is, of course, the most notorious and obnoxious and actually life-destroying aspect of this locally and nationally. The jails are packed with people who have committed no crime whatsoever except violating the drug laws.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And that happens here in Santa Cruz all the time. I know it happened to you. It happened to me when I was a youth. I think I was arrested for marijuana possession when I was in Berkeley years and years ago. It was traumatic. I was freaked out, and it's just stupid.
Jail some really beautiful, very soft people. And they keep them in jail for a long time. Imagine somebody doing mushrooms or something, and they haul them off. You have to spend the night. What a nightmare that must be. And a lot of these people are really sweet people.
Yeah, I mean, it's and also
breaking
it,
the spirit.
It becomes an industry, and huge increase in the prison population. Yeah. So, I mean, again, we're talking with Brent Adams. He's about to hustle off to light up a few flags for freedom on Seabright Beach. It's going to start at 8 o'clock, and you can read more about it online at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz if you'd like to. We've mentioned a couple of things, like Tamarack's case. If you had problems downtown as a performer or been hassled downtown by police in inappropriate ways, give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's my off-air line. Or you can call the studio right now and talk about the situation on the air. 427-3772 is the studio line. Brent is probably going to have to go pretty quickly, or I don't know, maybe he'll be here.
Yeah, we have to go reserve firing, make sure we get our spot on
and
the beach.
I hope you have more than one person, at least as a witness, in case you get hauled away or hassled.
And I want to mention his name. It's co-produced and facilitated by my friend Shalar, who's been very supportive through the years.
The infamous Shalar, who I don't know, but nonetheless. Yeah. Maybe I do know. I don't know.
You know.
Oh, okay.
He knows you.
He knows me. Wow.
And, the guy, he helped write our wonderful. Actually, I think on the free the indie website there is not the revised version that he would have approved.
Well, maybe you can do it as do a follow up post, which he can write.
He cleaned it up, and he's the guy's a really good writer.
You know, I mean, in circumstances like Halloween and New Year's Eve, Huff sometimes has gone out and done a kind of an informal cop watch. We got our video cameras.
Yeah.
We start running around to keep an eye on the police department, the sheriff's office, the highway patrol, and the little goon squads. And I say this advisedly because they look like little military units marching around.
You should see them on the... I'm sorry to interrupt. The quad runners on the beach. Today, I was with my mom and my nephews just hanging out on the main beach, and they have the quad runners with the guys in the black military outfits.
Quad runner meaning?
It's a four-wheel drive motorcycle thingy. It's very militaristic, and they go very slow, and they look you over completely, and they went back and forth. There are four different types of vehicles out there today, not just anyway. It felt very invasive and silly. Like, why does a guy who looked like he's in the military, all in black gear, come and sniff me up while I'm with my family on the beach? I don't quite get that.
Well, you know, this is a good exercise for the upcoming terrorist nuclear weapon alerts and the biochemical menace that's going to be hitting us soon, probably out of the labs of UC Lawrence Livermore, but who knows where the threat may come from. I noticed recently the guy who's accused of anthraxing everybody won $2.5 million
right.
But took him 7 years.
Not enough money.
No. I mean, you know, it's... and, of course, instead of, you know, a change for the better, we have now laws that have been passed or that are about to be passed by the Senate that will allow endless surveilling of people throughout the country. So I don't know about desecrating that flag, or should we say celebrating the desecration of that flag, what that means.
Consecrating.
Consecrating. Provided you link it up to some local support for your local comrades, I say right on. It's just so often we get lost in our own issues. For me, it's the sleeping ban or whatever it is. And for other people, it's, you know, discrimination against women or discrimination against gays or, you know, I don't know. We've got to realize that these are all part of a bigger problem, which it's like social services fighting over the pie. You know, it's really horrible.
Like I said, I take that. But tonight we are going to focus mainly on since we're burning flags, we're calling the media,
we're calling the
city out.
Bring the Kenyan flag.
I was downtown today passing
Zimbabwe
out.
Flag.
Yeah, bring anything you like. Shaw likes to burn dollar bills. Somebody wants to burn a Bible tonight.
Mm.
But my point is, I'm standing out there for all to see, calling on the street corner, flag burning tonight. Come one, come all.
How about the Santa Cruz Municipal Code?
Provide me one, and we'll throw that in too.
All right.
But again, it's the very subtle thing. We're doing a very specific thing, not protesting anything tonight. Celebrating freedom.
But do you have a permit?
Yeah, I have lots of permits.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thanks.
I'm sure you'll be asked that question by at least three different
all
officers.
All kinds of permits. Yeah. What do you want?
Oh, good. Okay.
I have a bag of permits here.
Oh, good. Good. You can burn some of the permits as well if you don't mind.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Well, Brent, thank you for coming in and briefing us on the upcoming fire sale, or fire, actually, that is going to be happening out on Seabright Beach at 8 o'clock.
There's a commemorative flyer.
And you're giving me, all right, a commemorative flyer. It's a flag burn for the fan the raging flames of freedom. I would say the dying embers of freedom, actually.
We still have the right to burn a flag in public, dude.
But the Iraqis don't have the right to live.
Celebrate good time.
Yeah,
come on.
I know.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration. But them immigrants don't have the right to see their families, and they don't have the right to any kind of due process. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's nice that, as I said, upper-middle-class people can burn flags. And I will support your right to burn a flag.
Well, today, like I said, I passed them out to some random people. I did a little checking first, like if I don't want to, I was lightly profiling today when I handed out the flyers, so I'm not trying to call in some overly aggressive sort of character who may not be in line politically with this.
You want a more mellow fellow.
We do. So I saw that I had a few conversations, many conversations through the last few days about this, handing out the flyers. But today I was talking to one Sri Lankan fellow who's here on business, and he said he's been all over the world. And he's stunned at how awesome he feels here, how free he is. He has the right to do this and that. He's engaging in business. Of course, it all comes down to money, doesn't it?
But
no one asks him a thing about himself personally. He's just saying he's really happy to be here, really enjoying the freedoms. And he, you know, asked me if I'd been anywhere else. That's the standard question. And really, I haven't. You know, it's easy for me to be an American. I'm a white male in Santa Cruz.
That's true. You haven't been to Iraq. Maybe everybody is really very happy there.
And I know.
Maybe that Sri Lankan fellow, can give you a whole.
No, we are at war, Robert. We are at war with this country, Iraq, right now.
Oh no! The war is won. Haven't you heard? Mission accomplished.
I was downtown today. I never. I mean, we're at war. Oh, that's right. Shit, we're at war.
Accomplished.
Oh, fuck, right. I got to run.
All right.
I want to say one more time for those who just joined us. Fourth annual Old Time American Flag Burn. Join us for a respectful sunset burn ritual in celebration of free speech. Bring your own flag. This is a bring your own flag event.
Just remember, when they tell you to support our troops, you tell them, I support their troops.
Support their troops.
Yes.
Support all troops.
Well,
tonight at 8 p.m., Seabright Beach, the West Fire Ring. Now, they've got the entire beach fenced off, so you'll have to mosey on down to the main entrance of Seabright Beach.
Will they be checking your ID and your blood?
I doubt it. Not tonight. It's an open beach tonight. That's tomorrow night when things get a little crazy.
You're going to check your ID tomorrow night? That doesn't sound right.
Well, no, they've got it locked down. It looks pretty. So I want to just encourage people, tonight's at open beach. They just have a lot of it fenced off, getting ready for tomorrow night. Don't be afraid of when you see the chain link fence. So I encourage you all, within the sound of my voice now, come now. Come now. Thank you.
That's the order of the day, folks. Thank you, Brent, and burn on, as they say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
With his lips and the way he moved his hips made me absolutely wet, but I never could forget how he ended our duet. For the joys of bachelorship and the feel of some brunette, he looked just McCartney. He had dimples in his cheeks, and whenever he would speak, I would almost faint away, but I never had a say, and like any protege, I would sit through his critique till I knew I couldn't stay.
way they comb their hair, in the way they hold the chair, if they choose to hold the chair. Every time I ascertain what I think he really needs, well, then someone changes speeds. He looked just like Alan Alda. He did everything he could, and he always understood when I needed an embrace. But he always touched my face like he felt so out of place, and I knew just where he stood when he said I needed space. I started dating in 1958. It was the year that the Yankees won the pennant. Though they'd done it before, they've probably done it since. I remember it well, it was really great. I was there in the stands with my first boyfriend. When I think of him now, he was less than a prince. And I didn't understand it at all, but I got an autograph on the wall. You know the guy on TV? With the coffee machine. I don't remember his name, but I remember the game. I went to college in 1965. It was the year that the war was really noticed. Though it's soon before, and I'm sure it was not my last. I remember it well, I was so alive. I would march on the streets with my first lover. When I think of him now, well, I know that he came too fast. But it took forever to learn. I was never quite taking my turn. But he just couldn't care that it was something to share. I don't remember the score, but I remember the war. I don't want a mollycoddle little boy bouncing on me like I think it's on his mother's knee. Pull away to me, hand a full of those, put it in his mouth and see if it can be. I don't want a macho man that thinks he's stuffing turkey, falling out and stuffing out of me. I just want him to be on a level with me. I want the man of the 80s. I want the man who is strong but sane. I want the man who will need to change my life. I want the man for the 80s. Someone polished but still inept. I don't want to be kept, and I don't want a wife. I almost married in 1969. It was the year that the eagle finally landed. And I guess it was great, though they only brought back some dirt. I remember it well, it was summertime. We were having a fight about religion. When I think of it now, I suppose I was really hurt. Cause he said my place was at home, and he put himself up on a throne, saying everything's fine, honey, soon you'll be mine. I don't remember his tune, but I remember the moon. I don't want a sycophantic sacrifice pretending I'm the only thing that matters anymore. Who will fight with me to the nail, reminding me of everything I've ever said before. I don't want a stud who's only sexually aroused when he can treat me like a whore. I just want to be sure I don't need any more. I want the man of the 80s. I want the man who is strong but sane. I want the man who won't need to change my life. I want the man of the 80s. Someone polished but still inept. I don't want to be kept, and I don't want a wife. I want a man for the 80s. I want a man who is all but pure. I want a man who is sure to stay the night. I want a man for the 80s. Someone able to be alone. I don't want to be owned, and I don't want a wife.
And that was another Uncle Banzai number. From Plain Brown Rapper, the name of it was Man for the 80s. Boy, and of course that was 20 years ago, and that's about the time, 25 years ago almost, when that song was written and sung. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert, and this is Bathrobs Pierre's Broadsides. Call-in number here, 427-3772, 831-427-3772. I'm looking online at the upcoming City Council meeting on July 8th. That's next Tuesday. Looking ahead, the City Council will have two more regular meetings before it, as it follows its usual practice, goes on recess during the summer for 6 weeks. And during this period of time, City Council candidates will gather their signatures, make their statements, and prepare for the City Council election campaign in the fall. I mention this not because it's terribly important, But because it is happening and it does provide a forum for some people who might want to use that opportunity to speak up on issues that don't usually get discussed. I'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show a bit. What's coming up on the council agenda that I noticed particularly was item number 13. There's only an afternoon session, and the time-honored Coonerty tradition of cutting back public comment, ramming everything onto the afternoon agenda where most people can't attend the meetings, and then cutting short public comment with the claim that we don't have any time because we have to put it all on the afternoon agenda, even though it's perfectly... there's no reason not to have an evening agenda. That's where traditionally city council meetings have had their substantive items. But no, this is an attempt to give the staff's behind closed doors decisions primacy and essentially tell the public you've got to trust your city council and your staff. One of the items they want you to trust them on is the Cedar Cathcart parking structure. That's item 13 on the consent agenda. That means that you will not even get a chance to talk about this item as an individual item with other people allowed to also make comments unless they choose to pull it off the agenda in what is almost a unique phenomenon in California, a special new rule implemented by Ryan Coonerty, the Coonerty consent clampdown rule, as I call it, which means that you get a chance to make some general comments about consent agenda items, which are usually numbered from 6 to 25, in a period of 2 minutes for all those items put together. However, if you want to have an item removed, you have to specifically request it. And if they used to be able to just remove it, because they're a member of the public, and the Brown Act says, the Public Meetings Act says, the state law says that you're allowed to talk on an item, not for very long necessarily, but to speak on an item. And Mayor Coonerty, in his lawyerly wisdom, he is an attorney, has decided that's not appropriate, and he's going to streamline things and remove you from the need to flap your jaws. The city council and the city staff will flap their jaws for you. Anyway, this particular item, number 13, it's kind of interesting that it's item number 13, is a recommendation approving a request for qualifications for design services for the Cedar Cathcart parking structure. What is that? That is a planned four-story parking structure, I believe, that is to go up on the what is now currently the parking lot at Cedar and Cathcart. Where is that? That's where the drum circle and this area across from the Cedar Street video and across from the, I don't know what that used to be, Plumley's Candies and Flowers. And now there's another flower shop there with a different name. That's a flower shop, the owner who drove Craig Canada out into the rain on that day of the worst rainstorm of the year, even calling the police to have him removed from sitting on the shelter there. Anyway, but they're planning a parking structure in this area that will, of course, remove the entire drum circle area, the trees, and the parking lot that is currently there. This is all going to cost, as a preliminary notion, it will cost $500,000 to $700,000 to design the Cedar Cathcart parking structure. Now, they claim it's fully funded in the fiscal year 2008 Capital Improvement Program budget. But I can't help but wonder if the money couldn't be better spent, particularly as gas prices roll through the roof. Let's see. The purpose of the RFQ, a copy of which is attached, is to solicit a request for bids. The responses require a submittal of all relevant information upon which the firms can be rated. The consultant selection will be made by a committee of the Public Works and Redevelopment staff and the Downtown Commission chair. So the only member of the public involved is a person appointed by... elected by the Downtown Commission, which is appointed by the City Council. The rest of these people are hired staff who are going to proceed with this parking structure. And it's not clear when and where the structure had any meaningful public comment whatsoever. Putting it on the consent agenda does not give it meaningful public comment, particularly in an afternoon session. Now, it could be it appeared previously, because I had heard about this previously, and maybe I did from a prior session, so who knows? Maybe it had some public comment, but it certainly hasn't been discussed in any great detail, this parking structure, which, of course, would remove more public space from public use. And indeed, Coonerty's parking lot panic law removed 10 square blocks of public space. That's the law, you may remember, that makes it illegal to walk into any parking lot or garage, any publicly owned parking lot or garage, unless you're walking directly through, or unless you have a bike or car, and then only for 15 minutes if you're parking or retrieving your vehicle. But the drummers and the people from the farmers market refused to follow this rule, and the police backed off. However, once the space is covered with a parking structure, the rule will be back in force full time, and of course the space will be gone. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, hi, Robert. It's Craig, Canada.
Hey, Craig, you been listening? Or
I was listening for a few minutes. I was out earlier today. I actually was sitting on a bench when the guy that's going to be burning the flag came by and asked me to come to the flag burning.
And are you going to the flag burning?
No, for a number of reasons. First of all, there's transportation. Secondly, you know, I actually do think it's an appropriate way to celebrate the 4th myself, but...
Well, you could burn a flag downtown, Craig.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
You could burn a one of those papers, of red, white, and blue flag papers with a joint, you know.
Well, I was called up to talk about, I made a deal yesterday.
Aha.
And I've had time to think about it, and I'm not so sure it was a good idea, but you mentioned, I don't know if you did mention or not, but I had a trial for an incident at my heart. They charged me with battery.
I pizza my heart?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I also have another trial for marijuana possession. And so our charges, and charges for those. The first trial for battery, we had a trial last week, and it was a hung jury.
Mm-hmm. Now, Becky actually called in and made a brief report. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, I did hear that. I did hear that.
But your account is of even more interest to me, since you're the person who, you know, it happened to.
Well, I don't know if I can add much to it. The trial was really traumatic for me. I choked up when I got up to testify. It was a really traumatic experience, and it's really difficult for me to think about the whole incident.
Right.
But they offered me a deal that they would drop the charges, they would dismiss the charges. But I need to get. They want me to get tested for communicable diseases. And so I'm supposed to go back on August the 29th, I guess, with the results of the test for communicable diseases. And also, then they said they don't want me to get arrested for a year, which means I have to appear in court on July the 9th. And I suppose that's when the charges will be dismissed, if I'm not arrested for a whole year. And at the time, it seemed like I thought of it as cutting my losses. I think the whole thing is wrong to start with. But it didn't seem like that big of an imposition on me until I realized, well, I don't have Medi-Cal. And so what they gave me is they gave me these minute orders from the court, and it's got written on it something about being tested. And so I'm supposed to take that over to Emmeline, I guess, and hopefully they're going to test me and give me the results. And they're probably going to charge me for it, I realize, and I can't afford it. And also, when they arrested me for the Pizza Love incident, it was the day before Thanksgiving, and I just purchased an ounce of very good marijuana. I got an extremely good deal on it from my caregiver. I guess it was a Thanksgiving compassion. But it was a very good deal. And so they still have that. And so I called up the public defender this afternoon, and I said, well, what about my marijuana? And I haven't received a call back. Of course, I didn't expect to get one. I guess she was in court all day, and if she can...
What's her name?
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I'm sorry, what's her name?
Sarah McCarthy, and I think she did an excellent job. for a public defender.
Well, you know, I have a couple thoughts on this. First, I want to remind the listening audience that you were arrested, as I recall, by your account, and you called me at the time on your phone.
That's right.
You know, you were trying to use the bathroom briefly. You were a customer at Pizza My Heart, and you essentially, you know, had to kind of pack stuff. Did you pack stuff up and took it into the bathroom with you, right? Your computer and such, is that right? Or was it still on the table?
No, I don't leave my computer anywhere, especially when I go to the bathroom.
Right, so you had your stuff with you, and somebody started banging and pounding on the door, and then you came out, and as I understand it, you were assaulted by this person, who then, to defend himself, accused you of spitting on him, and then you were taken to, I don't know if you were taken to jail, you were handcuffed, were you taken to jail, or?
Yes, I was handcuffed, I was taken to jail, I was not released until after.
So you were charged instead of the person who was harassing you in the bathroom.
That's right. What he told them, the police report states that I threw myself down on the floor. And then I guess I jumped up and I screamed, I'm sick, and I spit on everybody, and I said, now you're all sick. This is the police report he filed, and they believed him. And while I was standing there crying, trying to tell them what happened to me, instead of listening to my story, all they could do is tell me to calm down or they were going to arrest me. It soon became clear to me that they had every intention of arresting me. They didn't care what happened, and that's when I called you.
Now, I know that the couple things here are also relevant. You have a condition which you use marijuana for. You have had your website, which is very articulate and interesting, which is what, palmspringsbum.com, is that right?
Actually, it's been changed to org. I moved my domain. But you can get there either way, palmspringsbum.com or palmspringsbum.org. It doesn't matter, but it's actually org now.
Okay, palmspringsbum.org. You have had a doctor's recommendation for some time, and you have a condition where you're upset. You get upset easily when, you know, a lot of tension hits you. Hence, you were, you know, upset and loudly protesting what happened to you, and the police refused to take a charge from you against this other guy who assaulted you.
All they would tell me to do is calm down.
Right.
And, of course, that's not helpful.
Right. The point I'm trying to kind of cut to the chase here is they took you to court. They dragged you through the courts.
They stole my medicine the day before Thanksgiving.
And that as well. And now, you know, they're claiming, adding insult to injury, that you spat on this guy, and therefore they want you to take some kind of a medical test to show you haven't got communicable diseases because you're a dirty homeless person, or were at the time. Perhaps that's the implication there. And, you know, my reaction is, you know, you probably know what my reaction is. My reaction is to tell them, fucking try me again, assholes, and we'll do it again, and I'll do it better this time. And we'll have 12 more jurors, and you'll spend another $20,000 making yourselves look like an idiot defending this clown who essentially was trying to, you know, harass me and then defend himself, if your account is accurate, which, of course, I wasn't there, but I'm taking it at face value. So, you know, I can understand, however, that you want to get out from under this. The problem with taking this kind of a deal is, well, I don't know. I don't know whether you should be getting your marijuana back. Maybe you will, even with the deal. Or maybe they'll say, come back in a year. I don't know what smooth Steve Siegel, the judge involved, is actually going to do. He deserves another name rather than smooth. We used to call him that because he was somewhere between okay and, you know, so-so about 10 years ago. But, you know, the idea that you should take all this shit and have to be, I mean, you have to be on your toes for the next 12 months. A cop approaches you, you have to worry you're going to be arrested, and wham, bam, you're back supposedly violating a probation condition. And that's why
they told me it's not probation, because I absolutely did not want to be on probation. Supposedly, it is not probation.
Okay.
But, you know, they did make it sound like that, and I do think that if that is the case, then I have been lied to.
Well, it could be that they're right, that it's technically not probation, but it may be something that is the, you know, the legal equivalent. If you are in a position where if you get busted for anything, the DA will suddenly take you back to court and suspend this. And I think that, you know, that puts you in a position where you don't get a second trial. You have forfeited your right to a trial because you've agreed to the deal. I mean, my reaction, and again, we're talking about it on the air for the first time, you and I, we haven't spoken about it since your conference with your public defender and your court discussion. So I would say, you know, I mean, you know, we should talk about it some more, but I would contact your public defender and tell you you're having some serious doubts about this. Police,
I left you a message this afternoon.
Good. Yeah, I think you know, the police have a serious hard-on for you at different points. I mean, how many police encounters have you had in the last 2 years here? I mean, you were sleeping.
Oh, God, I don't know. The woman at the Sugar Palace, the cookie factory, called them for because I was medicating in front of her store one morning, like at 9 or 10 o'clock. I have had so many, I can't keep it straight.
Right.
They basically have tortured me for the last few years. Sleep deprivation, homelessness. I have lived in pure terror.
And so, I mean, you do have the advantage these days of being indoors, which, you know, although that could change, you know, I don't know what, you know, how permanent that is for you. Hopefully, it's now a permanent condition. You're no longer homeless.
I can't afford it. If my mother didn't send me money every month, I couldn't possibly afford it.
Yeah. So you know, I mean,
my mother is 70 years old and she's extremely sick, and it really hurts me. And the way those people in the forums treated her when my mother came onto the Sentinel forums and tried to help me was truly criminal.
Yeah,
this place is the most intolerant, nastiest, meanest place I have ever lived in my entire life. It makes Alabama look like heaven.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Sentinel forums, of course, are, you know, the kind of the dirt bed of. if you want to find some really prejudiced discussion, you can go to the Sentinel forums. And I know you've commented on some of that on your own website. One of the things I've missed,
Robert, is absolutely reflective of what I encountered on the street every day. It is what Santa Cruz is all about. Don't say it isn't, because it is. You talk about it every day on your radio show. That is exactly the kind of people that run this town. That is exactly what it feels like to be out on the street, and that is exactly what it feels like to be those. That is how it feels.
So the question then becomes, you know, what to do in this legal situation? And you know, I would there's a human rights organization meeting 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Normally it's at 2, but it's happening at 10 on Saturday morning. There may be some folks there can advise you. You can always contact me after the show. We can talk some more. And, you know, it's a hard row to hoe to figure out what to do, Craig. It's not an easy choice. I don't envy you your situation. You know, so. But I appreciate your...
Medical marijuana patients do. Wham! Ace a dozen. Nobody cares because I'm poor.
Hear, hear. That's the story. There is a city council meeting on Tuesday.
If you think I'm going to that, you're totally nuts. I don't want to be anywhere near those people. Those are the most despicable, disgusting people. It makes my skin crawl to be near them.
I hear you. Well, Craig, is there anything more you'd like to put out there for people, or any thoughts or any concerns?
No, not really. Requests? I think I've said more than enough. I need to go.
Well, thank you for, you know, telling us some cold, hard facts.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Craig Canada, who was, they tried him on a charge of battery after he was assaulted, by his account, after his medication was stolen at Pizza My Heart a year ago, nearly in November. And one juror said, I don't believe it. And so now they offered him a deal. They'll try him again unless he agrees to this year-long, I don't know whether it's court probation or a court condition. And also he has to have pay for his own tests. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, good evening. It's Anita.
Hey, Anita.
Lots to say.
Hey, what's cooking?
First, the very first thing I want to comment on is Craig Canada's call. I'm so glad to hear that he disagrees with this flag burning. I wish he could have been a little more...
Actually, I think he agreed with it, actually.
No, I think he was kind of saying I might have misunderstood.
I mean, he said one of the reasons he wasn't going out there is because he didn't have any transportation.
I heard that, but I also didn't. I think he said something like he wasn't really supporting the idea of burning.
Okay, well, I have a different interpretation. Who knows? But I think
I don't know, but let me tell you what I'm thinking.
Okay.
My heart goes out to Craig. I'm so sorry that this is happening to him. And I'd like to offer him a care package from MedX.
Not good for you.
Anita. Yeah. Well, you know that I'm always kind, Rob, but I'm always handing things out.
But will you pay for his medical test at Emmeline?
They're not going to charge him. The courts will take care of that.
I don't think
he should have agreed.
I agree.
I think he's being set up. It's almost a guarantee he'll be bothered or harassed or something will happen that won't be good for him. So I think that he should try to rescind that, and I think it's called a condition of dropping the charge. I don't know why my voice is a little shaky. I need to fire.
It sounds like my voice, too.
I need to fire up a joint. Let me medicate.
Sure. I mean, if you'd like, you can call back in a few minutes. If you'd rather, you know.
No, I'm going to keep talking to you.
Okay.
I want to offer a care package to Craig. Craig, my heart goes out to you, and perhaps I can see you on Sunday. I won't say exactly where or when, but maybe you'll know. Robert, you'll tell him. And then I wanted to say I did a little bit of research on that Labor Ready.
Uh-huh.
And before I comment on that, I wanted to say that it led me to the Sentinel Forum. I kind of Googled. I'm not very familiar with how to use the computer, but I put in Labor plus Ready plus Pogo Nip plus Santa Cruz. And the Sentinel article came up. And there were so many negative comments about Becky, I just could not believe how nasty and mean.
Becky is a, for those who don't know, is a writer and an activist with Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Who's just got such a good heart and is so dedicated to helping people who are in, you know, it's so funny because homeless shelters have been full, and they're getting fuller because now with this whole mortgage crisis, now the middle class and the working class are getting to see what it's like to not even be working class when you're not given the opportunities.
Actually, there's no space in any homeless shelters and hasn't been since April.
Anyway, it's just really, really sad.
It's not for emergency walk-in shelter in Santa Cruz.
Very bad, very bad. But I'm just very disheartened about how people are commenting on Becky. So for the first time ever, I figured out how to add a comment.
Uh-huh.
And I got on the forum, and I put a little comment in, and I just ended it with, like, to you folks, you know, screw you. And they start out the word screw. So I got on again, and I wrote, I didn't write F-U-C-K, I wrote screw.
Mm-hmm.
And they still put the little stars there. They wouldn't even write the word screw you.
Oh, they're trying to be. It's a genteel forum, you
it's
see.
It's immediate, though, because it, you know, it appeared. And I also, I put it in there under A.H. Burns for Anita Henry Burns.
Uh-huh.
So that will be my name when I go on forums now. Oh, I'm so against that flag burning, Robert. I don't really want to talk about it very much.
You can if you want. I mean,
I'm so disturbed. It's really pissing me off. And you had the nerve to say you support their troops?
Sure.
Robert, come on.
I support the right of insurgent peoples to regain their country. If we had French troops marching up and down the streets of Santa Cruz,
Robert,
I think we'd have every right in the world to shoot them out of there.
Always been war. We had the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, Korean War, Vietnam, Gulf War. Go on, and there's always going to be war because freedom isn't free.
Yeah, but
Anita, wait a minute.
Let me ask you a question. So if foreign troops are occupying this country...
They're not, though. I don't want to talk about what if.
Well, foreign troops are occupying Iraq. Don't the Iraqis have the right to throw out the foreign troops?
I'm not an expert in that area.
Well, you don't have to be an expert.
I can only talk from what I know, Robert.
What I know is
I live in the freest, greatest country in the world. We've got problems. There are valid complaints, true enough.
You live in the country with the biggest military in the world, has the most military
bases. Robert, you had that young guy on,
all over the world.
He's probably a privileged, young, healthy, wealthy, white boy.
I'm sure he is, you know, but that's
said
not relevant.
He was perusing the beach with his sister and his nieces yesterday. What a feeling of freedom that must have been, even though he was intimidated by officer-looking or military-type-looking people. Now, you know what? I grew up in the Bronx, and that's why I'm a little more, I tend to like to side with law enforcement. They got their problems, no doubt. They need to have an eye kept on them. But they're there to protect, Robert. They're there for public safety, Robert. There are burglaries, robberies, sexual assaults. They never know what they're going to come up against and what they're going to face.
We don't criticize them for those kinds of behaviors, Anita. What we criticize them for is the other stuff. And I don't think the U.S. troops are stopping burglaries, robberies, and sexual assaults
in Iraq. This flag burning is not going to stop the war.
$14 billion a month that's being spent in Iraq to murder and maintain an occupation, a foreign occupation there, is the reason people want to burn flags.
Well,
they, that's why they want
to
burn flags. And that's
flags.
Why I say, wait a minute, support their troops. If another country is being occupied by a foreign invader,
support their troops
if,
slaughtering our troops.
If our troops are there occupying their country, you bet your ass.
Wow.
No question about it.
Well, we
no question about
it. We tend to disagree
we
on
do
this
disagree
one,
on
Robert.
That. Yes.
I love my freedom. I love this country.
Your freedom has nothing to do with U.S. troops in Iraq. That's your confusion, Anita, in my mind. And I think in your mind, too. There's no reason for an occupation of Iraq other than
an oil war.
I agree.
Robert, I agree with you. We
then
never
you don't support our troops.
War.
You
we
support their troops.
We never should have gotten into the war. I agree with you. It shouldn't happen.
Well, that's
but
fine.
But it did. But it did.
So what?
So now what?
So
now
you,
what?
You support the people who want to throw their asses out. You get them the hell out of there right away, and if they don't, you shoot their asses out until they leave.
Okay,
that's
and then
what you do.
They're just going to all move over to Afghanistan. You wait. You think we're going to pull out of Iraq and nothing's going to be going on in Afghanistan?
I think they should get out of Afghanistan, too. We saw the Russians getting murdered
getting
in Afghanistan.
We're not getting out. It's going to
anyway,
get worse.
I understand we have some strong disagreements here.
Oh,
but,
totally. Let's
but
stop
let's,
talking
let's,
about
let,
that.
I mean, that's okay. I don't mind talking about it, but we probably haven't got too much more to say about it. I mean, I'd be happy to talk to you about it at length if we have new information to give each other, but I don't know.
Okay, no, we shouldn't talk about it again because I have totally differing views on you on that. Let's talk about the things we do agree on.
Or the things we may have some slightly different views on.
We can do that, too, but we won't be changing each other's minds. But mm-hmm. I did come to your Huff meeting the other morning, which I enjoyed. I wanted you to know that, and mm-hmm. I would like to be able to come again, seeing out if I feel well enough in the morning to get up and dressed and out. I do want to come again.
Yeah, it's good having you, Anita.
Yeah, it really felt good being there. You
Huff
know what?
Meets every Wednesday.
I wrote it on my calendar every Wednesday.
Right, every Wednesday for those who are listening at 9:30 in the county building, which is in the cafeteria, actually, of the county building, the basement at 701 Ocean Street, and you're invited to come,
yes.
All you listeners.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being there. I liked the people that were there. It made me so much more understanding and empathetic of their situations.
Good.
To hear what's happening to people on a one-on-one, and I really give you and Becky a lot of credit. That's what really pissed me off when I got on that Sentinel forum, and I just see the way people are commenting.
Well, in a way, it's a way of understanding that, you know, when you make, sometimes you can be known by the enemies you make. I mean, some people don't like hearing that homeless people are human beings and have basic rights, and the police and
that
other,
they exist. They and, don't.
Yeah.
They just don't like
and
that
other
they
agencies
exist.
Are violating those rights regularly, like with Craig Canada. You know, I mean, that's what I've observed too. So
yeah, that's heartbreaking. Yeah. I'm not kidding. That really
yeah,
is
but
a heartbreaking.
It's standard. That's the problem. If it were just an errant example, we would be able to say, oh goodness, we can fix it. But I've seen it happen so frequently and so methodically.
I know.
And so regularly. You know,
yeah.
it's something that has to be addressed through new sources of power, and that's what we're trying to do with small organizations like Huff and the Human Rights Organization, and we're trying to find ways to fight back against this. You know, when the Measure K commission that you're on, the commission that is supposedly supposed to oversee the police to make sure that they keep marijuana enforcement, recreational marijuana enforcement, the lowest priority, is both hobbled and then sabotaged and essentially gutted.
It's impotent. It's totally impotent.
You know,
I have a report
that,
on that also after
yeah.
I talk
I mean,
about this.
That's a concern that we have to be aware of. And I'm glad you're coming forward on these issues, Anita.
Yeah, well, it needs to be exposed. That's why I really appreciate what you and Becky are doing. I mean, it really takes stamina. But when you meet these people and you look in their eyes and you hear their stories, how can you not want to advocate for them if you can? If you know the system and the resources, how can you not help people and be a decent human being? So I love you, and I love Becky for what you're doing. But back to Labor Ready. I'd never heard of Labor Ready, and I heard you talking about it at the Huff meeting, and you kind of said to me, yeah, I need to get on, do a little research on Labor Ready, and you said the pogo knit, but I really didn't know what you were talking about. Okay, now I know. I found out a little bit about Labor Ready, and they were formed in 1989 out of Washington, and what they do is they hire temporary manual labor, uneducated, mostly, I hate to say unskilled people to just come in and do work. They pay their people daily by check, and they charge them $1.99 to cash their check. They charge them to borrow safety equipment. they charge, oh, I just printed out all this stuff and highlighted so much stuff. They have to pay for their own transportation to the job sites or pay labor ready $2.50 each way. Anyway, just, it sounds just like a terrible, terrible organization. I kept on doing a little more research, and lo and behold, Labor Ready has changed their name and are now listed on the New York Stock Exchange as TBI. They're not known as Labor Ready anymore. They're now known as True Blue. Unbelievable. And their stock ticker is TBI, and this all happened after a lawsuit. Let me find it, where they lost... How much money did they lose here in this lawsuit for doing some of the things that I mentioned? It was the AFL-CIO that, oh, here it is. The latest blow to the company came when it settled a complaint filed by the Santa Clara Trading Council and State Building and Construction Trade Council of California for $140,000 over their failure to pay wages, illegal rebate of wages, breach of contract, and deducting a fee for cashing workers' paychecks. And shortly after that, they changed their name. Aren't they good? They're so sneaky, these corporations. They know exactly what they're doing.
This is a great report. And, in fact, what I'd like to do is find some way to post it on Indie Bay if you want to write it up. The reason, of course, we had you look into Labor Ready, and we were going to do this in a somewhat lower profile, but that's fine. I think this information is important.
I didn't know that Labor Ready had hired people, and they were
Labor
going
Labor Ready is the group that Chief Ranger John Wallace goes to go through the Poganip and the parks to destroy and seize and compact homeless property.
Right. Well, I learned that Wednesday at your meeting.
That he has posted. And the concern here, I mean, if this were simply to clean up trash, I would be the first to support it. The problem is that Wallace himself, a zealot who has vastly expanded the police activities and in the Poganip and the ranger activities in the Poganip against homeless people, where a lot of homeless people, you know, live and survive in that green belt area. Because there is no other legal place for them to be in Santa Cruz. They're not legal there, for that matter. They, under the Kincaid federal decision in Fresno, the seizure of homeless property and its destruction is simply illegal. It violates the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, the right to be free from illegal searches and seizures. And therefore, the city of Fresno now, along with Caltrans, has to pay out $2.3 million to homeless victims of the police and their lawyers.
I hope they see the money.
Well, apparently, it's starting to go out. It'll be settled in 2 or 3 weeks now. It's been decreed by the Judge Wanger over there in Fresno. The point, though, is that they won their case because photographs were taken documenting the destruction and compacting of homeless property. And Wallace has freely admitted to me on a number of occasions, they have no process for storing any homeless property. They don't store it. Therefore, they destroy it. And I've heard numerous accounts from homeless people of valuable property, invaluable property, you know, heirlooms, pictures of their parents, even their, you know, their grandmother's ashes, medical papers, medicines, just destroyed because they happen to be out there. Now, what they do is they'll find you in a camp, they'll find a camp that you're away from, they'll post it, and then they'll come back in a few days and destroy it. You might think, oh, well, you know, you got a posting. No, that's not enough. You can't, if you find somebody's property, if you're a landlord and you want to even evict somebody, you have to hold their stuff, I think it's for 60 to 90 days. Similarly, if you find somebody's property, you don't have the right to destroy it, you know, particularly if you're an official government agency. But this county, or I should say this city under Ranger Wallace does that, and he does it through Labor Ready.
And Labor Ready, I mean, it says right here that they exploit workers. They've exploited their workers. It also says here, aside from the fact that almost all jobs assigned by Labor Ready were and still are unskilled positions that pay barely above minimum wage, workers are often dispatched to work in unsafe conditions that require special safety equipment and training, neither of which are provided.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. And then they changed their name in December 07.
Right, and the point is that the great liberal city of Santa Cruz uses these scabs, uses these, you know, this cheap labor
The worst of the worst.
To engage in criminal behavior against homeless people. I mean, it's, you know, it's a kind of a double, triple jeopardy here. And what we need to do is we need to go out there and document it. So I'm going to talk to you more about this off air.
Okay, very good. Now let me tell you a little bit about Measure K before I hang up in case somebody else wants
to
call.
I know that you are a member of the Measure K Commission, which met in June and isn't due to meet again until December, and has filed some reports with missing names that essentially challenge the police version that they've done nothing wrong and that they're all just everything's rosy and hunky-dory.
And nothing. Yeah, well, let me just briefly summarize. I missed the meeting in December, but I did listen to about 2.5 hours of tape of the meeting. And then I got the minutes of the meeting 6 months later. Now, the meeting was in December. I got the minutes 2 days before our June meeting. Now, barely what was on the tapes were in the minutes. And my first response was, Tina Shull, the staff person, is a minimalist. She did not include how many people said, you can't meet twice a year, how can you get anything done twice a year. There were also 4 grievances that were heard. I listened to them on the tape. And it was also mentioned in the minutes. Along with the minutes came a copy of the semi-annual report that we are required to submit to the City Council twice a year. And on it, it is from November 2007 through April to 2008, which is 6 months. And it says there were no grievances. So I called Tina, the staff person, and I said, Tina, I listened to the tape. I read the minutes. There were grievances.
3 of them, at least.
Why doesn't it say that in the semi-annual report? And she said, well, I sent something to the council about that in January, and it wouldn't make sense to duplicate the numbers, which to me doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, she duplicated the other numbers, and the only number she didn't duplicate were the numbers essentially casting doubt on the police department's stats.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only that, it wouldn't be a duplication of numbers because this is the semi-annual report. Which covers that period and is available to the public. So if anybody from the public goes and gets it, it looks like there are no grievances. Now, I heard them on the tape and I read it in the minutes. So I did meet with Mike Rotkin and he did tell me, I asked him several questions. And he told me that he was going to be looking into that. First of all, minutes need to be done in a more timely manner. You can't get minutes like 6 months later, 2 days before your meeting, and ask anything of substance. I asked him if the Citizen Police Review Board had audio tapes available, and he said he would get back to me on that. He actually wrote these down.
Uh-huh.
I complained to him that as a member of the committee, it's not a commission, it's actually a committee, that I shouldn't have to pay to get public records acts if I so choose to. And he agreed with me, and he told me he would get back to me on that. He agreed I should get them for free. When I asked him about violating the city charter and the smoking marijuana by the church, he told me that that was private property. He didn't even really want to talk about that.
I pointed it out to you that Measure K only applies on private property, right?
Right.
And therefore, that's where it would apply. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Robert, this whole thing is meant to be confusing.
Also, I got to point out to you, I mean, you give this description of Rotkin as though he's some sort of helpful person. Rotkin is the person who dictated when he was mayor to all the different commissions to cut their minutes to the minimum. And it's also been the practice of these commissions not to give out their minutes until but 3 days. They have to do it within, I think it's 72 hours before, and they have to have publish an agenda 72 hours before the meeting, but they actually don't have to have the minutes available until the meeting itself. So it's really designed to be public hostile. Also, we should remind the community that the chair and vice chair of this commission resigned over these issues and feeling impotent and feeling they were completely spinning their wheels. And you read a statement from the chair about this issue in an earlier show.
He felt that we were rubber stamping the police department.
Right.
And he was a mature 30 years working in law enforcement related business.
You know, Rotkin is a known rubber stamper of the police department, and I know he appointed you, but still, he's also the guy who scabbed on the bus companies in the mid 90s, which had Santa Cruz Action Network withdrawing their support from him as a city council candidate.
I think that's what happens to politicians, though, Robert. You know, I really do, because I've known a few over the years, and eventually that just kind of seems to
be
what happens.
Right, but you don't want to pay much attention to them after that as any kind of advocates.
Well, I I'm kind of getting that, because he played me on the Jillian Greenside issue. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Okay, I asked him about opening an Office of Compassionate Use because the city council voted to, and he kind of chuckled and just said no.
Right.
He said no, it has nothing to do with Measure K. He didn't want to talk about that either.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, whether it has to do with marijuana, it has to do with the drug war.
He didn't care. I asked him if he would help.
Before you go on to that, I want to point out the Office of Compassionate Use was essentially a kind of feel-good measure that tries to make the community believe that Rotkin and the council are sympathetic to medical marijuana users. For 5 years, they kept all dispensaries closed. Then finally they allowed Greenway and Ken Sampson's club to open.
Before that they deputized Valerie Corral and some members of WAM.
Right, but they are not any kind of a club that most people had any access to marijuana
through.
Oh
no, it's a private club.
And instead you have this illusion that Santa Cruz is a community where the government is sympathetic to medical marijuana use, where in fact it is just the opposite. And this Office of Compassionate Use, which Rotkin supported, was a paper device which would only work once the feds legalized marijuana.
Which she knew wasn't.
Which is horseshit.
Yeah,
the way you
right.
get the feds to legalize marijuana is by having communities throughout the country, like Santa Cruz, legalize it and say, good, come and arrest us, assholes, and see what happens. Just like when they came to Free Radio Santa Cruz to close us down. Yes, they closed us down for a day. The next day we're open. We've been open for 3 years. We will continue to be open. We don't need no stinking permits, and we don't need permission. We don't need the city kissing the ass of the federal government and lying to its own community and its medical marijuana and its recreational marijuana users.
And they're not prepared to help anybody to pay the costs that was just increased with the county to get your card. I believe that's 100 and
right.
change. I asked him if they would be willing to help the indigent with the cost of that card for their safety, and he said no. I asked him about the $50,000 that was mentioned to be associated with my committee based on us meeting every month, but now we were only meeting twice a year, and what was the implication of that? He's going to get back to me. I want to know where that money's going to go.
That was a claim made by certain members of the commission. I think Candy Jackson and Mary Lou Capecchi. What's her name? Mary Lou...
Gecki.
I'm sorry. Mary Lou, my apologies.
She does a lot of work with the United Way and youth and school.
Right.
I didn't know that. That's why I found out.
And Jim King, you know, these are conservative people.
They're hostile to the measure.
Who are really hostile. I mean, you know, although Candy Jackson will tell you she voted for it, this is the same woman who wanted to make it illegal for gatherings of six on Pacific Avenue.
Yeah.
And who gave us the latest downtown ordinances through in the summer of 2002 through the Santa Cruz City Council. So she is... you know, these are people who are ringers, who are sent in, essentially, who are hostile to Measure K.
Well, what's so sad, too, is that it says in the paperwork that you are appointed at the council member's pleasure.
Right.
Which really sounds kind of regal and royal. But we need to let your audience know that there are three empty seats on the committee.
Yeah, and there's really no reason for anybody to go get them, the problem, because once people get appointed, they won't be meeting till December anyway. You see,
but at least I could meet with one or two outside of the committee.
Sure, and you can meet with X. Measure, you know, you can meet with the chair and the vice chair, the former chair and vice chair. You can meet with sympathizers.
Well, they don't want to have anything to do with it. Eric actually never got back to me. Larry corresponded with me a little bit, but I haven't heard back from him again.
I think if you start getting something going, they will jump on board. But they won't. You'll have to do it with some really dedicated people initially.
Well, where are they? Where are those dedicated? We're too old now, Robert.
Yes,
see?
We certainly are. Well, there were some younger people at the Huff meeting. There are a few of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And that's what I like to see. I like to see that. We need energy, and it's very just reassuring to see there are people out there that do care, that do want to help.
And as you noticed, there were thousands of people at the 420 smokeout up on campus.
Oh, the police couldn't do anything except stand on the sidelines.
Now, the problem is it seems to be like, you know, the rally against the war in Iraq in 2003, where you had the biggest rally in the history of Santa Cruz.
Well, we could rally our asses off. It's not going to stop the war.
Well, it would if we actually started rallying and then doing something, as we did with the Vietnam War.
Well, we can't get the numbers we used to have. That's absolutely true.
I was pointing out that, well, you got huge numbers of people in 2007 around the... Actually, it was 2006 around the immigration stuff.
Maybe that was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, that was huge. So it can happen. The question is, I know I'm not the one to judge when and how, but... anyway, we're talking with Anita Henry, who is one of the survivors of the Measure K. I think it's the commission. You say it's the committee. I think it's the commission.
No, it's a committee.
But we can go online and look at the wording of the ordinance.
I'm looking at my paperwork right in front of me.
Is that
committee.
Tina Scholl's paperwork?
The top Measure K Oversight Committee semi-annual
fair
report
enough, fair
on
enough.
All my paperwork.
I sit corrected. So what can the community do to help you, Anita, if anything? What I've suggested you meet with me and a few other people every week or two and work on some Public Records Act requests and take a few complaints if they come in and try to deal with it in a low key, because, you know, you only have a certain amount of energy. I prefer to see high profile, but, you know, it should be high enough profile for people to know about.
Well, I'd like to come to your next Huff meeting on Wednesday. I'm going to, like...
9:30 in the morning for anybody listening. County
I'm going to look forward to it.
In the cafeteria, 701 Ocean.
I think it's a good way to be productive, and it's a good way for people to get together and share their story, and that's how you get involved. That's how you get to care about other people. And, Robert, just thank you for the good work you're doing, and again...
And, Anita, I have something of yours in my car. If you
want. That's not mine. Oh. I wanted to... I'm sorry, Robert. I should have called you back to let you know. That actually was on the chair that I moved to sit on.
Somebody left their stuff at the Huff meeting. I'll try to find out who actually it is.
Have my permission to open it and look in it and see what's in it.
Thank you. Yes. All right, then.
Okay, take care, Robert, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, and if you want, leave a message in my machine. I'll give you Craig Canada's number in case you don't have it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 427-3772. We covered a variety of topics with Anita Henry a moment ago. She is, again, Measure K Commission committee person who is pointing out how ineffectual and hobbled the committee is, and how even her own council member is not getting back to her on key issues and is, you know, I think, finessing her on others. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Is this Robert Norris?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Robert Norris. You know, this is what really bothers me about your show is, you know, when was the last time you were in the Poganet?
I don't know. I drive through it. I haven't been up there much recently, but I if you're talking about messy and disgusting campsites, I'll agree with you 100%.
Okay, yeah. And what's your problem with Labor Ready?
Well, you know, I don't know that much. What's your first name, caller?
Dave.
Shane?
Dave.
David. David,
okay.
You know, Labor Ready, I've never worked for Labor Ready. And the most information I've ever gotten about Labor Ready came, you probably just heard the previous caller.
Right.
Is what she got from her research. Perhaps you have some other information that might be helpful.
With Labor Ready?
Apparently, no. She's done just research online. She did some reading about it.
Well, I've worked with them on numerous occasions, and the labs that they have down there are generally good boys, and, you know, I'm sure some of them have done time and can't get a job doing anything else, but they've always showed up for us. And we've never had a problem with them. And some of the guys that have showed up for us have also told us what their jobs are up in the Poganip when they work for the city. And I, being a person who lives in the west side and cruises through the Poganip quite frequently, you know, the people up there in the Poganip, we're not talking about private property. We're talking about stolen booty that's taken up there and divvied out for drugs and who knows what goes on up there. But I'll tell you what, Robert, if you want to climb up there and go over hill and through Dale, you will find some very nasty stuff going on in the Poganip. And lots of the people that I know are very afraid to even venture up there. And that's in pretty much our backyard in Santa Cruz. And I think that Labor Ready is doing a fine job cleaning it up. And if you want to talk about it, you should go up there and you should see what they're doing and you should see why they're doing that. Because, you know, I mean, you can just take a 15-minute walk to the Poganip and you can find lots of needles and, you know, feces and just all kinds of just nasty stuff lying around. And stuff that doesn't belong up there, stuff that has obviously been stolen from somewhere. and taken up there for who knows what.
Well, David, let me just comment on this, because I think these are important issues you bring up. I mean, I think that insofar as Labor Ready and the city go after, you know, trashy areas and areas that are, you know, some dangerous items involved, like needles, and or items where there's, you know, stolen bike rings and such, which does happen, I agree with you. I think that's perfectly legitimate. My concern is that everything is thrown into the same category by Labor Ready. That is to say, this is the claim of homeless people I've talked to who camp in the Pogonip, who I don't think are bike thieves, who I haven't been to their camps, so they may be messy campers, but, you know, based on my conversations with them, I haven't gotten that impression. And I'm limited.
I have hiked the Pogonip on both sides, all the way up the railroad tracks into Felton, and I can tell you this, that those people, you know, they do not know how to camp. They do not know how to keep a clean camp. You know, there's just nothing but garbage up there, and it all appears to be stolen garbage. And, you know, there's nothing really good coming out of that. And, you know, I, for one, think that you should be able to go into a public space and not have to worry about somebody else's crap. And if they don't respect the public space, then, well, that's why we pay taxes, and that's why we have police officers to go down there and thunk them in the head and send them to some other place, like Carmel.
Well, should people be allowed to sleep legally somewhere in Santa Cruz if they have no place to sleep?
Absolutely. People should be able to sleep whenever they're tired. I have no problem with that.
All
right. But it's like if they want to take over some public space, well, then, you know, that's another thing. And if they want to turn some public space into a criminal, you know, enterprise, then that's something completely different. And I think that's what we're talking about.
Well, I agree with you about criminal enterprises, you know, in terms if we're talking about bike rings or drug dealing areas.
And,
you know, I agree with that.
What goes on up there.
But, you know, my impression is, and again, I'm going to start asking, based upon this call from you, David, my additional questions about people in the Pogonip is, you know, has there been other, you know, like drug illegal activity connected with what you're doing? And since I'm talking to people to some extent in confidence, I may be able to get candid answers.
Well, Robert, I would tell you that right now is a very good time to go down to the park there, you know, Harvey West Park, and sit up there in the benches up at the high of the park and then just watch everybody that filters in. And then you can talk to them firsthand right there. And, you know, chances are if you don't want to do drugs with them, if you don't want to share a bottle of wine with them, they probably won't have really that much to say to you, because that's where they go to get their, you know, to get their fix on.
Well, you got to understand, of course, we are in the, I agree that, you know, people are, some alcoholics live indoors, some alcoholics live out of doors. Unfortunately, the ones who are out of doors are, you know, a public eyesore and can be a nuisance, although I've seen
I agree, and I say, keep that shit in the closet. I don't want to have to see it, and I don't want to have to deal with it.
Well,
anyway, Robert, you're always a very interesting person to encounter. I've seen you around town from time to time, and I wanted to give you a bonus here. You know, whenever I see the mayor, I heckle him, and I call him Little Napoleon.
You do.
And I even put my hand in my shirt.
Now, why do you do that? Why do you do that, David?
Why do I do that?
Yeah.
Because he is an imbecile. And he is, you know, he is nothing but nepotism, nepotism, and nepotism.
I mean, now, is there some specific
policy?
Is there some specific policies he's undertaken that you don't like? I know I have my differences with him for sure. No, but is there some
particular policies?
And there's some particular policies in the city that he's done that you find inappropriate or wrong or infantile or whatever?
I don't like his haircut.
Aha. Well, what about my haircut?
There's nothing to be said about your hair, Robert. You wear it the way you wear it. I wish you would wear the bathrobe more often.
Hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert, and continue your show.
Thank you, David. All right, then. I appreciate the new caller, and David, thank you for calling in. You know, it's important to get the personal experiences of folks who have those experiences, because that's how we talk to each other in this community. I mean, you heard the last caller say he is outraged at the crap in public spaces. I've talked to others who feel the same way. You've heard Pat Kittle call in. You've heard Hobo Lee talk about this issue. John Golder doesn't like it either. And indeed, messy or crappy camping is apparently a real problem in the Pogonip. I'm just wondering if the best way to deal with it is to criminalize everybody who falls asleep or camps in the Pogonip regardless, or as a campsite up there. And it seems to me it's not. And insofar as the police are making and the rangers are making appropriate discriminations, I support that. But my impression has been from the conversations I've had with people that that's not being done, that there is a blanket policy, pardon the pun, of essentially anti-homeless approach to the Poganim. It doesn't matter if you're clean or you're not clean. It doesn't matter if you're neat or you're not neat. If Ranger Wallace or Sergeant Barry have a hard-on for you, your history. That's why I think, and also, I mean, if you find property that isn't trash in the Poganip and Labor Ready is destroying it, they shouldn't be doing it. Sorry, I don't think they should be doing it. I think they should be getting rid of trash, but their responsibility is to store property that they find that has any value. It may be more difficult, may be more time-consuming, but it is a public responsibility. That's my belief in the situation. We have about 11 minutes left in the show. I'm going to play a little bit more from the street. I'll be back again on Sunday. I think my voice has gotten back somewhat, although a little raspy still. I'm hoping to have in the studio with me on Sunday Peter Maron. Actually, not in the studio. He'll be calling in. He is a writer, poet, an activist from Santa Barbara who is, he's of my generation. He's in his 60s now, I think. He went on the Walk Across America with the Homeless in 1987. He's been involved a lot in homeless activity down there and defending homeless people in lawsuits or being parts of groups that do that. He's also, he has a certain hard head on his shoulders, sort of like the last caller in some respects. He's not going to mince words about what he doesn't like about things that happen around the homeless, and he'll give the police appropriate recognition where recognition is due and criticize them where criticism is appropriate. At least that's been my experience with Peter Maron. He should be calling in 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And specifically, we're going to talk about Caltrain and the trespass crap along the railways. You may recall in Santa Cruz we faced a similar situation, or even I think was it Supervisor Coonerty or Mayor Coonerty did a walk along the rail line challenging the Caltrain to bust them, and they didn't bust them along with the bicyclists. But then, of course, they went and they busted homeless people later because homeless people don't have the same cachet that mayors and upper middle class bicyclists do. So, you know, and Caltrain is one of the main defendants in Fresno that destroyed homeless property. And they are also, I think in other cities like San Francisco, they were involved in trying to run homeless people out of bus depots and so forth. Frankly, it's a national disgrace, and it's also a slap at the civil rights of all of us, and that's why I keep bringing it up. You never can tell when you're going to be poor or you'll be called homeless, and when they do it to the most vulnerable people, you're next, is my concern. Let's have a little music from the streets and maybe a little chitter-chatter, and then I'm out of here, and it's going to be Uncle Dennis. From the cream to the dregs. Again, to remind you, the Human Rights Organization will not be meeting at 2 o'clock as it normally does on Saturdays at the Firefly Cafe. It will be meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure if I'll be there. I'm going to have a conflict. I'm going to have like a once-a-year meeting with some relatives. And no, they're not paying me to stay out of Carmel. No, that's not true. But hey, I'll be telling you more about all kinds of exciting things. And we'll also hopefully be getting an update from David Bush down in Ontario, California, where there was a tent city and it's been shrinking. And Bush has been doing some marching about trying to get the county to set up a tent city, which, of course, is what we need here in Santa Cruz. And Huff has recently passed a resolution that when there are fires out there and they're suddenly declaring all the Poganip is off limits to everybody, that they have to set up evacuation centers for homeless people as well. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, it's Linda.
Hey, Linda, what's cooking?
Oh, you know, same, you know what, different day.
So what's up?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know where to start, actually. Not really, hold on. God, I have to be in this part of town at this time of day. I'm so stupid. Damn. Anyway, did you play my little thing that I recorded yesterday about the Bayfront Inn? Or whatever it's called, Ocean View?
You know, I didn't get... We haven't gotten to that yet. We have about like 6 minutes left in the show. If you want to give a minute or two update, you can, or you can call back on Sunday. Take your pick.
Well, there's not really an update. There's just people being rude to people just because of appearance, assuming that they're homeless.
Well, it sounds like they're not just being rude. It sounds like they're suffering discrimination.
Exactly.
In their right to rent a room is what you told
exactly.
me.
Exactly. I mean, they've got the money. I mean, I know lots of people, homeless people, get checks on the first of the month, second of the month, whenever. They're in a hotel room for a week, 2 weeks, money's gone, done. But these guys get hella benefits, even in the summer.
Now, remember, our audience doesn't know what you're talking about, so you better tell them.
What I'm talking about is not only homeless people, but these are just regular people, even like me, okay? At one time, was homeless, still consider myself part of this cause, as it were, because I was. Not better than anybody else, ever. And the discrimination that people as a whole have against others.
Well, you have a particular complaint against a particular business. What's the
Bayfront, the Bayfront Inn.
The Bayfront Inn discriminated against somebody you know.
Yeah.
And then
he had a credit card that we reserved the room with.
Right.
Okay? A lot of homeless people have credit cards. That means they have the money.
Right.
These people are stupid.
Uh-huh.
They make me angry. I'm sorry.
Well, it should. It should.
You know,
let's talk about this issue on Sunday. You going to be around on Sunday?
What time?
Anytime between 9:30 and 1 in the afternoon.
Gotcha. Okay. I will call you then.
All right. I appreciate it, Linda, and I'm sorry we don't have more time.
That's okay. At least I thought I'd talk to you before you went off the air.
No problem.
Okay, honey.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one, have a good fourth.
All right. And, you know, burn a flag for me.
Definitely. I'll burn my bra. How's that?
Now you could do that, too.
Woo-hoo!
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
A couple of quick announcements before I take off. Let's see. There is a meeting of the, I guess it's Coalition for a Community-Wide Dialogue on Race, Poverty, Equality, and Justice, a planning meeting, 4:30 p.m. on Tuesday, July 15th, in the Santa Cruz City Council Courtyard Room. That's a week from this coming Tuesday. Next Tuesday, as I mentioned before, you get to watch them kick down $400,000 to $700,000, or maybe it's $800,000, to pay for consultants to decide how many stories are going to ram down a parking structure where there had previously been open space at Cathcart and Cedar, and where there had been the drum circle every Wednesday. That's coming up then. We also have, I've got a lot of stuff. I'll try to bring it up on Sunday. Again, Berkeley Daily Planet has some interesting stories on the latest Berkeley Police Department, ignoring brutality against peace demonstrators up there. Marijuana raids in Humboldt apparently are coming down, talking about that. LBAM spray is not dead, unfortunately. We got some more information on that. On Reno's Tent City, hopefully I'll be talking more about what's cooking there. I think they're actually moving to dismantle it by September, but I'll try to give you some details. There's a lawsuit that the Orlando Food Not Bombs in Florida has filed against their Thou Shalt Not Feed the Poor laws, and they're having some mixed results there. The mayor recently testified in their civil trial, and I'll be reading you hopefully something about that, particularly if somebody calls in to remind me. And police say teens beat a homeless Ohio man to death. That's another story that came in over the wire. There's, of course, been a lot of information. Amy Goodman followed on the emergency room horror. You can follow it on YouTube, which Tim Rumford brought to my attention. Pretty grim shit. You can go to it and check it out. I'll be doing more on updates on the war in Iraq and on the vets issues, making the vets hall vets territory instead of yoga territory, you know. Then there's an interesting article I read on waterboarding by Christopher Hitchens that I may go into, whom I usually have the most severe disagreements with. And we'll be talking, as I said before, about Santa Barbara harassment and hypocrisy. Union Pacific, wasn't Caltrans, Union Pacific, cracks down on homeless encampments there. And I'll have Peter Marin on the phone talking about that issue and invite you to come and listen in. In the meantime, give a call to the Huff line if you have any reports, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And taking one last look at Indy Bay to see if there's anything cooking there. What have we got? Not much on the calendar. Again, there's a flag burning happening at 8 o'clock tonight out at Soquel Beach if you want to check it out. And the Human Rights Organization meets at 10 o'clock on Saturday at the Firefly Cafe at 131 Front Street. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Tune in again, and I'll talk to you again. And you can talk to me, too.
Three fine guitarists here with different kinds of guitars at Pacific and Soquel. It's around 15 to 6 on Monday, June 16th. The sidewalk has been chalked, more trees, less bush, a forever endeavor. Namaste, a tree, or some kind of a flowing thing that looks like it could be a tree. Marilyn Ayers, her stand at Alfresco's is still open. She disapproves of the chalking, because she feels it requires a lot of washing down. I haven't found that to be true myself, but then again, I haven't usually washed down such stuff regularly. I know that in Santa Cruz, I've regarded chalking as an important form of free speech activity, which has been improperly punished by the city, particularly against homeless activists in the past. So it's about 6 o'clock on June 16th, 2008. I'm here at the Santa Cruz City Council Chambers, and there's about to be an orientation session on City Council candidate running procedures. I'm not quite sure who's doing it, but we have about, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And more of that next time. Uncle Dennis is in the studio, and it's on with From the Cream to the Dregs.
This is a true love song. It's a true love song called Kill the Competition. Everybody smiling, 'cause they're too damn weak. If they don't have anything good to say, then they just don't speak. Everybody's careful not to step out of place, singing them sad love songs to the blue in the face. See the couple on the sidewalk, they're the picture of bliss. For every two or three steps they take, with them need to kiss. Flaunting their emotion till I'm good and pissed. And she'd be staying with me tonight if it didn't exist. I'm gonna kill the competition. I'm gonna steal your heart away. I don't want no opposition, and there's nothing that you can say. I don't need to ask permission when it's all been said and done. Kill the competition one by one. I can see them on the TV. Everywhere that I go, I can see them in the corner of every room when the lights are low. And they never show discretion, and they never slow the pace, and not do anything at all to get them out of my face. There's a man on the corner, and he's making me wince, 'cause all the women just flock around like he's a goddamn prince. And he's serving up romance with his candles and wine. But if he happens to disappear, then it'll be mine. I'm gonna kill the competition, gonna try to steer you clear. Gonna move through this transition so that nobody else is near. I don't have no inhibitions that can take away my fun, and kill the competition one by one. See the women in the window, see the women in the street. They can't see anyone else tonight 'cause they're so complete.
One by one. And I want to welcome you to From the Cream to the Dregs tonight. Uncle Dennis here, sitting in the slightly warm seat. Robert left me and filled up. Adjust the chair. There we go. And let everybody know that this is, of course, Free Radio Santa Cruz, operating on a frequency of 101.1 megahertz without a license since 1995. That's right. No commercials, no sponsors, no underwriting, no license. It's pretty simple. You send money, we play music just like this. Till 11 o'clock, it's music from the 60s and the 70s. With Uncle Dennis, that's me. Enjoy. Thank you.